Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. Tonight, we are talking with Kat Calvin and Amanda Spann of Blurtology. Very exciting podcast. If you guys have questions or comments, you can use the hashtag on Twitter, which is hashtag BGN podcast, or give us a call. We're here and available, and the phone lines are open to talk. Our number is 347-237-4616. Before we get started, I just wanted to briefly mention that last week we did a podcast about interracial dating, part two, and it was a very awkward podcast, to put it lightly. And there were some things mentioned and some disparaging remarks and generalizations being made about Black men, about Black women, even about Asian men. And in no way, shape, or form do we condone or co-sign on those kind of statements. So I just want to say that I apologize if anyone felt offended by what was being said on the podcast last week. That's not the route that we want to go with our podcast. You know, our mission is to be eccentric and to spread diversity and to be anti-generalizing of other groups. So that's definitely not what we stand for. We represent the opposite of that. So just want to say sorry to that. And, you know, this is the growing pains of starting a podcast is experiencing these kinds of things. So, but moving on. We have, if you haven't heard already, a Blurred Book Club. There is an amazing book written by Sherry L. Smith, who will appear on the podcast next month to talk about it. So if you haven't done so already, I highly encourage you. I'm right now in Chapter 8, and it's really, really good. The book that we've selected is called Orleans, and it's a great sci-fi fantasy thriller that's got a little bit of Trem in it, a little bit of Walking Dead, a little bit of True Blood, a little bit of I Am Legend in it. We have on Goodreads, that club, right now we're almost at 200 members. So go on goodreads.com, do the search engine, Blurred Book Club, you'll find us, and we will start the discussion on July the 7th with Sherry L. Smith herself on the Black Girl Nerds podcast. And our host tonight, our co-hosts, we have our LaTanya and Brittany. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the virtual mic over to them. And if you ladies will introduce yourselves, tell us about your social networks, what you're working on. We'll start with LaTanya and then Brittany, and then we'll move on to our guests tonight.
Hello, I'm LaTanya. I have a blog called Sprinkles and Booze. I also write for Black Girl Nerds and Afropunk as well. If you want to reach me, you can reach me on Twitter, which is Sprinkles N Booze, the letter N Booze. And, yeah, that's about it. Go ahead, Brittany.
Okay. I'm Brittany. You can find my page on Tumblr, and it's called The Lows and Woes of a Natural Girl. Also, I'm on Twitter, at NaturalGirl89, and also sometimes I write for Black Girl Nerd. And that's about it.
Great, ladies. All right, so we have on our show Blurtology, founded by Kat Calvin, and Amanda Spann is the CMO of the organization. Blurtology is formerly known as Black Girls Hack. It's a social enterprise focused on the enhancement and celebration of the Black tech community, widely known by their signature hackathon series, Black Hack. They are the portal to all things Blurty, with programming initiatives designed to help fuel ambitions, facilitate collaboration, and make blurred life just a little bit more awesome. We have Kat Calvin. She's the CEO and founder of Blurdology. She's also an entrepreneur, lawyer, traveler, and an avid TV watcher. And Amanda Spann, she is the PR and branding consultant who writes and speaks on the topics of media, entertainment, and technology. She is the CMO of Blurdology. Welcome to Black Girl Nerds, ladies.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Love the applause track.
Thank you. I did it all by myself. Kat, I wanted to ask you if you can just kind of tell us in your own words, what is Blurdology and what inspired you to create this organization?
Sure. So Blurdology is generally an organization designed, it's a social enterprise, designed to support, engage, and grow the Black STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math community. We do that through a lot of ways, through our IRL in real life initiatives, in which we do a lot of events on the ground. So our Black Hacks, things like we did Newark Tech Week in New Jersey. We have a big Blurred Night Out series coming out. We do things with state, federal, local governments, et cetera, to bring out the Black STEM community, to showcase what's going on, to help get people working together, partners, finding CTOs, support, engage, whatever they need. And then we're also in the process of building an online platform that will do the same in a lot of different ways virtually. So that's really what Blurology is all about. Oh, and the second part of the question.
Yes.
How did we get started? So actually, well, it's sort of get started on accident. Amanda and I both had startups, and we were looking for CTOs, chief technology officers, and we had met at a tech conference one weekend, and then the next weekend we met again. And I sort of had this idea, oh, we should have a hackathon. Maybe we can find a CTO, get our project built, whatever. And then I just sort of like, oh, I'll do it in Atlanta. And then I called Amanda because I knew that she was the most amazing PR person ever. And I was like, hey, you don't really know me, but do you want to put on an event for me? And she was like, sure. So we just did it, and it ended up being way more successful than we had planned, and we got all sorts of people asking us, when's the next one, what else are you doing, blah, 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 and we sort of realized, we'd actually hit upon something that there actually was a need, and we sort of did some research, we're like, oh, there's no one who actually has a business that's fully focused on supporting the Black STEM community in a lot of different ways, and so we spent the winter figuring out what we wanted to do and talking to basically everybody, and then we launched Blurdology.
Explain to us what a hackathon is and how anything remotely similar to hacking is actually legal.
So, for word hacking, my mother actually really freaked out about it and was like, oh my God, you're going to go to jail. And I was like, no, it's okay. Basically, all a hackathon is, it's just a big geek party when a bunch of designers and developers get together and build anything online, a website, a mobile app, a software, whatever. And they can be anywhere from a 6-hour hackathon to a 72-hour hackathon to right now on the bus back to D.C. from Newark, New Jersey, where we just ended a week-long hackathon that was done virtually for a week and then all day today. And basically the idea is to get people together to build something. What we do with our Black Hacks is we bring together Black coders and designers from around a particular region, be it Atlanta, Newark, wherever, to build web and mobile apps for Black-founded nonprofits and startups who couldn't afford to have their websites, their apps, their whatever built if it wasn't for coming to the hackathon.
And Amanda, tell us about your role as CMO of Blurdology and what campaigns are you currently working on?
As CMO, I mean, I make sure that everyone knows about our events and happenings, both on the ground and virtually. And it essentially involves building and maintaining a network of people and influencers who can not only assimilate the word out to relevant parties who can attend our events, But fostering goodwill within the community and just, maintaining relationships and keeping the lines of communication open so that if there are potential opportunities for partnerships
or, you know, media happenings, we can jump on those things first. So, my job is essentially to keep us in the press and to keep people talking about us and to keep people interested in coming to our events. As far as campaigns that we're working on, we have a few things for the summer. We actually just did a party in D.C. for the National Day of Civic Hacking that was sponsored by Chevy and Duce, which is a new brand of liquor. And so we, you know, it was a really cool spin on what we kind of traditionally do with our mixers. And this was a startup showcase and an actual party. We had, like, a live band or whatnot, and everyone seemed to really enjoy it. And it's kind of the kickoff to what we'll be doing this summer, which is Slurs Night Out, which is a 12-city tour. We are going all across the country to kind of aggregate local startup ecosystems and blurry communities all around the country. Well, North America, really, because we have stopped in Canada as well. And what we'll be doing there is, we'll be going to these communities and, you know, doing like a mini startup showcase and aggregating the thought leaders in that community to address the crowd. And we thought this was really important because there's a lot of people out there who are blurs who don't realize it yet. And people they need to be introduced to the concept and know that there's other people like they're out there like them. And they have a support system, whether they know it or not yet. And so we are here to be that spark to get them going. And whether you are a technologist or you have a tech startup or maybe you're just tech curious, maybe you are an accountant or a lawyer or a publicist like me and you just have an interest in maybe growing or fostering a tech or even a high-growth startup, these are the type of events where you can meet the people to make those things happen for you.
Now, I want to get to the Blurred Night Out in a minute, but you had mentioned the National Civic Day of Hacking this past June on the 1st. Tell us about what happened in that event and what you guys did.
Okay,
sure.
So the National Day of Civic Hacking is an initiative that the White House put forth. For anyone who doesn't know what it is, the initiative that the White House announced a couple months ago. And essentially what the White House is asking everyone to do is come together in their communities, their own respective communities, and build for the greater good of the country and help further platforms to solve issues that the government's facing for, you know, essentially just the good of the country and moving America forward. And so here in D.C., we had the largest group of hackers in the country. On Friday, we had like a tech camp preview where we brought community leaders and technologists together at Microsoft on Friday. On that Friday, that was right before the National Day, which was a Saturday. And so we helped these nonprofits who aren't necessarily the most tech savvy find tech solutions to their problems here on the ground in D.C. After that, there was a tech policy meeting down at the mayor's office in D.C. From there, we went to Google on Saturday, which we cross-promoted a hackathon with Code for America, D.C. Brigade, and they coded all day there. They got shuttled by Chevy, our sponsor, to our event later tonight, the participants of the hackathon, that is. And so they, you know, coded all day, partied all night. The next day, they went to the Affinity Labs where they wrapped up the hackathon and got to actually finalize their product and present them. And so, you know, there was a host of smaller events in between and all around the country, but that's what we did here in D.C.
How does one get involved into these events? Is this something where you have people that are already involved in computer programming, involved in the tech community, or for someone who's an outsider but they're just interested in fellowshipping with other blurs, how would they get involved?
With a hackathon or just with blurology in general?
With the hackathons.
Well, at our hackathons, we try to offer like a an early session where you can come and you can come and network and kind of meet people and just, you know, if you're looking for a coder developer like we were a couple months ago, that's your opportunity to come and, you know, get the conversation started. But once our hackathons start, they're for coders exclusively, because we want them to have the opportunity to build as much as they can overnight for these projects that they're working on without any distractions. And a lot of times when you have people who are coming in who don't know as much about coding or, you know, aren't actually working on the project, they can kind of distract them or they, you know, they have a lot of questions, which is nothing wrong with, but, I mean, we are trying to help people get their businesses off the ground, and so we have to have time to actually build the project in addition to bringing in business consultants and, you know, possibly some investors to kind of guide them on their, you know, business and financial model so that they can get to where they need to be. We only have 24 hours with them, so we kind of have to move fast. But that's why we have, you know, alternative events like Work Night Out, where you don't have to be a coder, you don't have to be a programmer. You can just come and share your love and enthusiasm for technology or just startup life or entrepreneurship in general, and just kind of, you know, foster, flirt love everywhere.
That's awesome. I have a question. How do both of you, because I'm, like, reading your bios now, and obviously Jamie said what you both do, but how do you make time for everything? You both do a lot. So how do you, like, schedule everything out and just make time for everything, really?
Well, I think that Amanda and I are both lucky that we're in positions where we're able to basically work on Wordology full-time, and then we have other things, consulting, or I run a nonprofit for girls, different things that we do as well, but we don't have 9-to-5 jobs, which really helps.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, yeah, that makes all the difference. And then, you know, like, I'm single, I don't have kids, I don't have a car, I don't have a plant or, like, a goldfish or anything, so, and everything, like, I love the work that I do, and my social life even has a lot to do with my work because I love it, and I, you know, may go out, but probably with blurs or with, you know, whatever. So I work all the time, and even like coming to Newark this weekend, I was sort of doing it for work, but also because I'm absolutely in love with Newark and with the people here. So it really just felt like having a great weekend. So
yeah, it doesn't feel like work.
Exactly. So having the chance to do what we love all day, I think, makes it easier. And then, you know, there are things like I'm obsessed with Google Calendar and OmniFocus and Google Docs. Like, I'm very type A organized, which helps too, but, you know, it's a lot easier to make time for something when it's what you love and you get to do it all day.
Mm-hmm. I also think it helps if you're just really transparent with people about what you have going on. Like, right now, obviously I do Glorology. I have my own PR firm where I focus on, like, mobile apps, online influencers, and digital brands. I also am a partner in a hair extensions line that we'll be launching shortly. So, I mean, I work on a variety of different projects, but I think trying to tie all those projects together, I mean, obviously hair extensions don't have much to do with technology. However, I mean, my partners in the hair extensions line knew before we decided to launch that they knew what I did and what my skill set was. And trying to figure out, like, you know, what you're good at, delegating those roles to the right person and trying to stay as organized and transparent with each other as possible, letting each other know, hey, I have this going on. This is the time I can work on this. Blocking off this set of time for whatever project you may be working on that week or whatever is the priority for that week is really important. And also having people around you in your life who, like, really support what you're doing and who are also fellow entrepreneurs. Like, all of my friends and my family pretty much, like, they all have businesses of their own, and we kind of have, like, even, like, my roommates, we have, like, a kind of a creative suite of people who, like, work to complement each other. And having that is so important because when people, you know, don't understand your dreams, they don't understand your ambitions, it can really be a hindrance, but, my friends, like, they really try to do the best they can to, like, support everything that I'm doing or Like if, you know, I'm like, hey, guys, I'm about to get on this call. I need you to turn down the music. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And they're like, yeah, sure. Like, whatever. You know what? Just let us know what you need. And, like, I try to, you know, do the same thing for them in return when they're working on their project. So just having a really great support system, staying organized, and being open and honest to people, I think is the best way to go. And just to keep going. Like, even when you're tired, just, I mean, you never really know how much you can do until you're pushed to your limit. So you just kind of keep going and don't tell yourself you're tired.
Nice. There's a lot of folks on Twitter that wanting to know more about the Blurred's Night Out. So, Kat, if you can tell us a little bit more about Blurred's Night Out and how can we get involved in this event?
Yeah, absolutely. So we came up with Blurred's Night Out because we're getting calls from people in cities all over the country, like, when are you coming here? And Dan and I, being the crazy people we were like, we're coming here now. We're coming to all of you. So we thought, okay, we really want to do you could continue sort of what our big goal is and go around the country, meet blurs everywhere and really be able to sort of spark people getting together, realizing there are the blurs in their neighborhood, realizing that there are really great things happening at Black STEM all over the country and being able to get together and collaborate and work together and feel supported and engaged. So we came up with this awesome event. We think it's awesome. Hopefully other people think it's awesome too. How Blurred Night Out. Basically what it is we'll be in, we have several cities on the roster. We have 8 cities. Scheduled, I believe, and we're adding a few more. But if you go to blurredology.co/BNO, you can see the whole list. And it'll be a really awesome opportunity for blurs from each city, Dallas, New York, San Francisco, Orlando, Atlanta, St. Louis, all over, to get together. We'll have local Black STEM leaders who will talk about the awesome things that are happening in each city. We have beautiful venues in every city that we're doing them in. We'll be showcasing local Black STEM and startups so they can see, like, the cool things that are happening in Dallas and the Black startup world. In a lot of the cities, we have local VCs coming. We're really excited to get to talk to entrepreneurs about things that are happening. We're working on getting scientists and engineers and everyone together for a really cool party to celebrate the amazing things that are happening in Black STEM in cities all over the country. So, you know, definitely check out the website. You can see the links. You can see what the party is all about. We have local hosts in each city, but we're always looking for more local awesome people to help us plan them. So you can email. My email is on the website, pretty much every page. You can see our emails, but it's catcalvin@blurology.co, amanda@pr@blurology.co. And we definitely would love to talk. If you're a startup in a local area and you want to be showcased, we can chat about that. If you have a business and you want to sponsor, we definitely chat to you about that. But we think it'll be a really cool chance just in the summer celebrating the really extraordinary things that are happening in Black STEM and every state. There's so much happening. So we're just hoping to come out and support it.
Nice. And I'm looking at the site now. So the very first Blurred's Night Out, for those that are listening, it's July the 6th, Atlanta. So for those who want to go ahead and attend that event in Atlanta on July 6th, what can they expect on that date? What kinds of people will they meet? What kind of things will actually take place at the venue?
So for Atlanta, we're going to do a fireside chat focused on the convergence of entertainment and technology. We felt like that was appropriate for the city of Atlanta since it's such a big music, and it's becoming a really neat movie hub as well. And so, we wanted to, with this, like I said earlier, you know, Blurred's Night Out is for more than just coders. It's for people who just are really enthusiastic about being a Black intellect and just startup and entrepreneurship culture in general. So we wanted to kind of tie people in and draw people who wouldn't necessarily go to our hackathons but still want to support us and still want to, come out to the events and meet people, like-minded people. So we felt like, the best way to do that was, adopt a team. So along with entertainment, but there also will be a startup showcase of all types of businesses that are popping up in the Atlanta area, tech and high-growth companies that, may not necessarily be entertainment-related. And you can come kind of meet their founders and get the conversation started with them about, you know, how you can follow them and see how you may get involved. There's, you know, potentially some people who may be looking for CTOs in the area, so that would be a great opportunity for you, or you're looking for some work as well. So, you know, we'll be releasing further details about Blurred Night Out in the next week or two. So, you know, be on the lookout for a press release. Official announcement. I guess this is inadvertently our official announcement, but we'll be making an announcement on paper as well, too. So, and there'll be further details included in that.
Absolutely, and Amanda's really good at communicating with me on all the press releases that go out for Blurredology. So if you don't get a chance to catch it on blurredology.co, you can also check out blackgirlnerds.com and see press releases about events that's happening with Blurredology. You girls are based out of D.C., and I'm a little disappointed that there's not a D.C. Blurred Out on your website, because that's close to me, and I would like to attend one of these. So when are you going to have a D.C. Blurred Night Out?
Well, that's why we had the big, you know, we just did three big events for the National Day of Civic Hacking, including a big party that was both, it was sort of past Blurred Night Out, have National Day of Civic Hacking launch party. So that was, we sort of made a big weekend of things in D.C. I know we were super sad that you couldn't attend. But since we live in D.C., we will definitely be working to have more events there, but we will be in New York, which is super close, so you should come to the New York one.
Yeah, I'm eyeballing the New York one. I'm in Connecticut. I'm, like, an hour outside of New York, so I'm like,
And the New York City one is on August the 2nd, so got plenty of time to get ready and geared up for that. Kat, today you had put out a lot of tweets this morning of some photographs. You know I heart him so much. Some photographs with you and Mayor Cory Booker, who just recently announced his candidacy for a U.S. Senate seat in New Jersey. Tell us about that event today and meeting with the mayor.
Yeah, I mean, it was super exciting. This was, when we came to Newark the first week of April and put on a week of tech events called Newark Tech Week, we were really lucky to get to work with the city of Newark. And we totally fell in love with the city. It's like my new second home. I love it so much. There's so many amazing people, and it's a beautiful city, and I just love it. And so people in Newark like my new besties now. I talk to them all the time. And so New Jersey actually was the last state to sign on for National Day of Civic Hacking. They had 49 states. They really wanted New Jersey, and Newark really wanted to do something. And so Seth Wehner, who is the mayor's chief tech policy guy, I'm sure he has a real title. I can't think of what it is. He does all of the tech policy stuff. He sort of thought it was going, and a bunch of the people in Newark, hey, let's do this hackathon, and let's get people of, if you know, tech firms or just people who are really great coders from around Newark to compete to be able to build this city's new website, because it's like most city governments, the city of Newark's website is not a great website. It gives you all the information, but it looks kind of boring. And so they decided to have a hackathon. So on June 1st, which was the National Day of Civic Hacking, they launched sign-ups. And so any, you know, team from around the city could sign up to build a prototype for a website. And then today was the actual hackathon. It was at Audible.com, who is a great sponsor, and they're headquartered in Newark. They have this absolutely just gorgeous, amazing space. And they got to come today. They had their, they showed their prototypes, and then the judges and the mayor were there who spent a really long time looking at each one, talking to everybody, asking questions, doing tips, et cetera, you know, how they can change it, et cetera. And then they were judged, and they will, towards the end of the month, find out who the winner is, who will win the contract to build the city's website and $30,000, which is an amazing prize money. So it was great because, you know, Mayor Booker came out to our hackathon in April and was awesome and hung out for a while and met everyone. And he came into this one, too. He's really, really passionate about tech and about the possibilities for Newark tech and about local startups. And is super supportive. And of course, being the co-founder of a tech startup himself, is like super interested in it. So it was great that he came out and really, you know, spent a lot of time giving people a lot of input on their design. So it was really cool.
That's awesome stuff. That's really good. one thing that I admire that you guys are doing is you've created this organization. It was formerly Black Girls Hack. Now it's Blurtology. I know that you had mentioned before that you decided to sort of drop the Black Girls Hack because it was sort of centric to women, but now you wanted to include men and women alike in the black tech community. How does one who's interested in an idea such as Blurtology start a nonprofit? What steps do they need to take to get to where you are now?
I think Kat was going to be best to answer that. She has a couple of nonprofits.
Kat? Uh-oh. Did we lose her? Okay, hold on.
She's
on. Kat, you on the line?
Yeah, I am. I think it said unmuted. I think you had me muted.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry about that. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know, but I got cut off and then I called back in and then it was muted. So I don't know what the last thing is that you heard.
Okay. Okay. So my question was, you know, you've got this great organization, Blurtology. For someone who's interested in starting an organization such as yours, what steps would they need to take to do to start a nonprofit, essentially?
Well, we're not a nonprofit. We're a social enterprise. So we're a for-profit corporation with a social mission. Which is very different. I also run a nonprofit, and there is, you know, you really, really have to think about what your goals are and why you would start one or the other. And the lawyer in me has to point out you should do this with a very good lawyer because there are different reasons for doing each one. But, you know, starting either a nonprofit or a business, it's like starting anything. You really just need to find something that you're passionate about. And, you know, I always recommend look to see if there's anyone else who's doing what you want to do, and if they are, figure out, you know, maybe you want to partner with them. A lot of people start nonprofits to, you know, say, like, I want to mentor kids. And when there are actually 20 really good organizations to mentor kids that you could work with to make better, you know, and there's a lot of planning that needs to go into it. But really, you know, I mean, I could list a million different steps of entrepreneurship, but you just have to find something that you're really passionate about. Be sure that it's something that you're willing to give everything to, because starting a business means being completely obsessed with it, and something that you're willing to stick with for a while, because it takes a good number of years to get something started and going and running really well. Find great partners. Amanda and I work really well together because we're total opposites, and so we're really good at the things that the other person is great. I suck at PR. I'm the worst PR person on earth. If it wasn't for Amanda, nobody would know that Blurtology existed. Like, I'm horrible at PR, and I hate telling people about things that I'm doing. So I need a really good CMO. You know, and when you find those great partners, and then, you know, get it started. You know, it's not when you're passionate about something, and the great thing is there are so many incredible resources online. I mean, Google is just the great equalizer in so many ways. Unless you want Google Glass, in which case they are not an equalizer at all. You know, and so there are so many incredible resources. Inc. Magazine, Entrepreneur Mag, Fast Company are incredible, like, must-have resources. There are great groups everywhere. I run a group in D.C. called D.C. Young Entrepreneurs, and we have a little over 800 members, and we have events every month, and we do educational events, et cetera. There's a lot of things like that in every city. Find things in your city that are going to support you. You know, find all the resources you need to do everything from starting a business plan to finding a lawyer to picking a legal structure, et cetera, online, and get started. There's everything is out there. All of the information is available. Everything is accessible. There's no reason that you can't do whatever it is you want to do.
Nice. So, and this is a term that is new to me. So a social enterprise would constitute a for-profit organization, and you would recommend that if you did want to start a social enterprise to seek legal counsel so that way all your ducks is in a row with getting that set up.
No matter what, when you're starting a business, you should seek a lawyer to find out what you want it to be a corporation, and if so, an S-corp or a C-corp, and I won't go into legal so you can explain the differences between that. Maybe you want to be an LLC. If you want to be a social enterprise, you know, what that just means is it's a business with a social mission. So whether it's, you know, a business like Tom's is a social enterprise. They sell shoes, but one pair for each pair that's sold goes to children who need shoes. So that makes it, you know, that has a social mission. And then there are just companies that are green companies. You know, I have a friend, Tina, and she runs this amazing company called Renewable, and they're trying to get really incredible recyclable compactors in neighborhoods all over the country. Their whole mission, everything they do, is green. That's their business. So it's a business, but it's social because it has a social mission. Or they're nonprofits that are specifically nonprofit-specific reasons. And so while you're figuring all of that out, having a lawyer who can help you figure out what makes the most sense is always a good idea. There's a lot of information online, too, so, you know, read up and figure out for yourself sort of what you think the best options are so that when you go in to talk to a lawyer, you're very self-educated and you already know sort of what you're talking about, and it makes the conversation go faster and it helps you know that you're going to make a good decision.
That's amazing advice. Really good advice.
Well, yeah. Thanks. That's my law degree just paid for. Yay.
Well, one of the things that I'm also really impressed with, and Amanda, you could speak to this, is just the amount of impact that you guys have had on the internet. Just if you type in Blurtology, they're all over the place. You guys have been featured on BET's website. You've been featured with Black Enterprise, Madame Noir. Amanda, how have you been able to expand your brand via social media as well as through all of these journalistic outlets with Blurtology?
I think it helped that I was already a publicist. And I think one thing that is important that people need to remember is not just to foster a relationship with the press, but to foster a relationship with the community and mm-hmm. your target consumer. We really work really hard to figure out who the key players in this space were, and we've essentially created a new space. All these people were already coexisting. We're just bringing them all together and giving them a platform to do really cool things on. So a lot of opportunities, press opportunities, have inadvertently, you know, presented themselves to us because, we've just gotten in touch with the right people and really earnestly, like, communicated what we were trying to do. I think a lot of people get down on themselves as far as, you know, getting exposure and press is concerned, and think, well, it just seems such a daunting task to get press. But, I mean, you really have to think about, like, where you are as a company or as an entity and whether you really need or can handle press. And then from there, kind of move forward with figuring out the right outlets for you. We know in our press strategy, I mean, personally, we really try to focus on not just, Black or, like, tech press, but crossover press. I mean, we just recently had a press placement in Vibe magazine where we're trying to, you know, reach out to people who don't necessarily identify themselves as Blurt as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are people all around the country and all around the world who really fit into that mold and who would identify with Blurtology as a whole, but we have to get to them. And sometimes that means going places that you haven't been before. So I think, you know, there's an underlying fear, especially within technology, to kind of, you know, reach out to the people you may be less familiar with, the entertainment folks, the arts folks, the culture folks, the lifestyle people, we're all humans. We all, you know, all blurs can identify with being smart, regardless of whether you're into, you know, video games or,
mm-hmm.
you know, coding. And if you just, you know, take the time, take a couple seconds out of your day, every day, to kind of explain to a few people what you're doing, the message spreads and it gets to the right people. We've had a lot of really exciting placements by PBS, Business Insider. It's been a really exciting ride for us, and, you know, we look forward to, you know, being in other publications and finding new interesting ways to present content to you that's refreshing, as opposed to the stale or stereotypical, tech article in a box, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you guys went to South by Southwest, right?
Yep.
I'm so jealous. I want to go every year. I never go.
You should. It's so much fun. You should totally commute.
So have you guys, like, set up a platform with South by Southwest for Blurtology? Like, maybe there's a little conference for you guys?
Well, we got, you know, really lucky. There's an amazing group organization thing that happens at South by Southwest every year called the Blackstone Technology House. And so we put on a hackathon there. And we're involved in some things because of the BIT House, which is a great, great sort of outlet for, you know, being able to sort of really focus on Black tech at South by Southwest. Really was just an incredible organization, and they'll be there, you know, they've been there in previous years. I imagine they'll be there again next year, et cetera. So I definitely recommend that when you go to check them out. And it's a great sort of outlet at South by Southwest for us to really just focus on sort of blurred life, particularly as it pertains to tech and startups.
Nice. I would love to see you guys as well at, like, comic book conventions and, like, the upcoming San Diego Comic Con. Have you guys thought about going out there and setting up partnership with them?
We have.
Reaching outside of
tech. Because, we're very, very much not about tech, is why we always say STEM, because it's science, technology, engineering, and math, and then other things that are blurry. So we're definitely, like, not purely tech or even just startup focused. So happens that things like hackathons and South by Southwest tend to be focused that way, but stay tuned because we've got some things in the works because we're really working to expand. We've got some awesome things coming up with gaming soon. We've got some things that are going to sort of happen a little more with sci-fi, which is like totally my thing, and some other things. And in 2014, we're talking to folks about some different comic book things as well. So, you know, we're still super new, and one of the things we're doing as we're growing and expanding is really adding to all the different portals that we're able to be in. So, you know, by 2020, Blurtology will have its fingers in a lot of different pies. That's a really weird metaphor, but I just use it. So, yeah, definitely thinking, and we love it when people send us tweets and emails and stuff with suggestions, and we have this, like, giant idea board of things we keep adding, and then as we add capacity and as we sort of grow, we're constantly looking at, okay, what else is it that people want that we can add? So, yeah, definitely stuff like that is on the list.
Awesome.
I have a question. What would you suggest for somebody who's not, well, for a shy person that's trying to put themselves out there with their big face?
For a shy person?
Yeah, someone that's not like, you know.
Find your own Amanda Stan. You can't have my Amanda Stan, but find your Amanda Stan.
Well, what I would say is, no one's going to invest in you if you don't invest in yourself. And I think it's so important. I mean, I know, you know, as women in particular, I think we are kind of conditioned to not want to put ourselves out there or to promote ourselves or be like that disingenuous self-promoter. But, you know, you have to promote your business regardless of whether you're shy or not. You're going to have to, you know, get used to talking about it. And you shouldn't have to apologize or feel bad for that. On the smallest of scales, I would just advise you to, you know, kind of take an inventory of your network, and to really make a list of, like, everyone you come in contact with on a daily basis and people who you still consider relevant to you, or who are important to you, who, you know, you may not see every day. It may be your cousin across the country who you only see every other year at the family reunion, or it may be, you know, somebody you hung out with one summer or whatnot, but you still consider yourself relatively close, you just don't live in the same city. And reaching out to those people and letting them know what you're doing. And, you know, more times than not, like, when you just tell people and just be open and honest and say, hey, this is what I'm doing, this is what I need help with. If you know anyone or can make any recommendations, it'd be greatly appreciated. You know, people are more willing to help than you think. Like,
you can crowdsource a lot of your own marketing by just opening your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people don't feel bad about doing that. Like, I understand that some people are shy and some people are a little apprehensive about, you know, just putting themselves out there like that. But, I mean, you got to invest in you first, and you have to take that leap if you really want to make this happen. It's like, do you want to be your business to be successful more than you want to be comfortable? That's something you have to ask yourself. Like, yeah, speaking up makes you, as a shy person, speaking up makes you uncomfortable, but do you want your business to be successful more than you want to be uncomfortable?
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, just don't be afraid to just be yourself and be authentic, and also put yourself out there. I mean, I'm an introvert too, and doing a podcast is nerve-wracking every week, but I get the guts to go out there and do it and, you know, be honest and transparent when I put out information and content on the Black Girl Nerds blog about my own personal experiences of being a nerd and feeling judged in my community. But I'm just telling my story and being my authentic self. So just, you know, feeling confident about being transparent and, you know, not being afraid to put yourself out there, people will gravitate to that naturally. So I don't think that that's something that will ever hold you back.
I definitely agree with that point, just being yourself. Like Kat mentioned earlier, me and Kat are, like, total opposites. We're completely different. And, I mean, it's just, I think, but people get that. And, I mean, I don't think you feel a need to be anywhere like Kat. And Kat doesn't necessarily feel a need to be anything more like me. And that's okay, and that's fine. You know, some people are going to, you know, they're going to relate with Kat a little better. Some people are going to relate with me a little better. That's okay. Like, it's absolutely all right. And, you know, our skill sets complement each other. And, I mean, they work for the greater good. But, you know, just be yourself and be earnest and just open and honest and just tell people what you need. Like, sometimes all you have to do is ask. And, you know, once you put that out to the universe, it'll come back to you if you're willing mm-hmm. to go out there and work to get it.
Okay.
It's great advice. Really good advice. Now, I mean, this is a beautiful place for solidarity among, you know, Black tech professionals, blurbs. You do have a section on the website for submissions for blurbs to be featured on Blurdology. So what information are you looking for applicants that go to your site to be featured?
Oh, man, anything creative. I mean, everything from, you know, we get great people who send in articles and blog posts about themselves and their journey. And, you know, there's some great ones that have been put up, you know, about the history of, you know, remembering why we're blurred and sort of a great writer wrote about her grandfather and sort of everything he went through so she could go to college. We get people who write about their tech startups or about being scientists. You know, we had a week for this really great film, The Takeover, and this director sent us her film. It was a short film on YouTube and Vimeo, and we did a whole week and interviewed the cast and showcased this film by a Black director. You know, we're looking for anything creative. I would love to have people who send in comics that they draw or stories or whatever, you know, anything blurry that's awesome and that's creative and that's something that you want to have a place to showcase, we want to be that platform. And it's been cool so far getting I was so excited when we got a movie, and I was like, oh, we can do a whole week about this awesome movie. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, we're just looking for people who have great ideas. And sometimes people will write and say, I really want to write about this, but I don't really know. And then we'll work with them, and I will edit the crap out of anything and, you know, and make it work so you don't have to have a finished product, have an idea or whatever. But we're just always looking for really creative ways. And, you know, we're just lucky that we have this website that people go to. And it's this great platform. And so we're like, all right, for people who don't have that, come to us and we'll help, you know, showcase what you're doing.
That's awesome. So that's on the submissions link. If you go to blurdology.co and click on submissions, that's the place where you can go ahead and submit your content to them. We've got a question on Twitter from Rihanna. Letty. I hope I got that right, Brianna. I'm sorry. She says, do you want your business to be more successful or do you want to be more comfortable?
Oh, I think she's quoting Amanda there.
Oh, that's a quote.
But worth repeating.
So, okay. Got me. Sorry about that. Well, this is really awesome that you girls have come on to talk about this. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your personal lives, if you don't mind. I know, Kat, you are a Whovian. Am I mistaken or no?
Oh, very much so.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, since it's kind of been recent news about, you know, Matt Smith is leaving. What do you think about, I think they've even chosen a new Doctor Who, if I'm not mistaken. What do you think about the new selection, or if they haven't, who should be the next Doctor Who?
I love Matt Smith, and he's been wonderful, but I'm all about change, and so I'm super excited to see who's next. They did announce who it was, and I can't remember, I've read an article, but I do not remember who it was, but I know there are a lot of people on the Idris Elba sort of bus. I am not on that bus. I think that I just can't imagine him acting silly enough to be the Doctor. So sorry, don't send me tweets. I know that y'all love him, but maybe not as like the man in the TARDIS. I don't know. I mean, I think what's great is that Doctor Who often gets people who are pretty unknown. You know, David Tennant, nobody really knew. Nobody knew who Matt Smith was, really. They get great unknowns, and so I'm really excited for it to be someone I've never heard of before, and I think that's one of the things that's really great about the Doctor. You know, I wouldn't want it to be, I don't know, Jude Law or someone. Like, I want it to be someone new. I want someone
that
exciting.
That would be amazing. I would probably faint.
All right, well,
I would, like, spin
we'll do one vote for Jude Law. But, you know, I'm really, really hoping that it's just someone that we've never seen who's just completely amazing. I think Moffat does great casting, so we'll see. But I hope someone new, someone different. I'm always looking for fresh blood.
A lot of talk on Twitter and the social media is saying that it would be cool if there was a female doctor. What are your thoughts about that?
Her name is River Song.
So River Song should be the next doctor?
No, I'm saying she is. We have a female Time Lord. She's amazing. No one will ever be better than River Song. I don't feel the need for a female doctor. I think women are extremely well represented in Doctor Who, and I think River Song is a female Time Lord. We're good. I want her to be in every episode for the rest of history. Like, I don't need another one.
Amanda, what shows are you into? I see you tweeting every now and then about I think you watch Mad Men and you watch The Housewives of Atlanta.
I do watch The Housewives of Atlanta. I am a reality TV junkie. I hate to admit it, but I am. no shame. The only show that I really sincerely watch faithfully is Scandal. I'm not. I'm not really. Like, because of the nature of my work, I'm typically like out and about or having to like. To work through like the night when like television shows are on or like the best television shows rather. Just the nature of my line of work, I'm not able to watch TV as much as I would like. Scandal is one of the few shows that I follow pretty faithfully. It's probably the only show that I follow faithfully.
You and the rest of the world.
Pretty much. I saw one episode did like the pilot, and like I remember my friend coming to me and was like, "Hey, have you heard of this show called Scandal?" And I was like, "They were probably like maybe an episode in," and I was like, "No, I haven't heard of it." And they were like, "You have to watch it." Like, and I was by the end of the episode, like I was screaming, "No!" they've got me ever since. So,
what do you think about the finale with Olivia Pope's dad being pretty much the mole?
Oh, so juicy! Never saw that coming. I just was like debating whether like I was just really confused. Her dad like set her up to
I know.
Or, like. did her dad try to protect her by sending? Because you remember when, you know, that her dad sent, I guess his assistant or whatnot, to, like, break into her apartment. I was like, that's so messy. Like, she was, like, shaking the doorknob or whatnot. And I'm like, if she's, like, a trained killer, like, I mean, you're not good at this. and so Jake just kind of kills her instantly. And so I don't know if, like, her dad was, like, trying to protect her in that moment or trying to set her up. Like, it was just a really confusing portion of the show. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what happens next season. And I, you know, try to make my predictions. I'm right about 30% of the time with my scandal predictions.
I'm about it that way.
But, you know, I'm getting better, so stay tuned. And, you know, if I pick up any other shows in the future, like, I'll be sure to let you know so we can watch them together.
Well, I've been recruiting a lot of people to watch Orphan Black, and my rate has been very successful. So if you guys haven't watched Orphan Black, you need to get on that because that show is awesome. It's actually one of the best shows on television right now on BBC America. So, and once you watch that show, it hooks you in from episode one. So it's just like, okay, I got to know what happens on episode two. I got to know what happens on episode three. So they really reel you in right at the beginning.
And you cannot miss any episodes or you'll be totally confused.
Yeah, I have to start from the beginning because I have no idea. I tried to, like, watch it in the middle of the current season, and I'm like, I don't know what is going on, so I have to start from the beginning.
Awesome. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Before we go, I just wanted to ask Kat and Amanda if you guys have any new projects that you're working on that you want to tell us about and where we can contact you for more information about Blurtology.
Sure. Well, I think we've told you all of our projects coming up. Blurred Night Out is a big thing happening. and then we'll, you know, constantly be rolling things out. But we tweet like crazy. So not quite as much as you, but I'm working on it. You're my Twitter role model. So you can always get in touch with us through Twitter. I think our email address is probably on the website like 85,000 times. I'm Kat Calvin at Blurtology.co. Amanda's PR at Blurtology.co. You can probably send smoke signals in the shape of glasses, and we will see it. You know, there's tons of ways of getting in touch with us, and we always are looking for awesome people who want to get involved, who want to submit submissions, who want to, you know, help volunteer at our events or do whatever. Like, we're always looking for people to join in, so definitely get in touch.
Yeah, definitely. Just you guys keep your eyes open for the official announcement of Blurt Night Out. And you'll have, like, all the information and the links to register or, you know, if you are interested in becoming, you know, a community partner or a sponsor for the event now. You already know, you know, we're coming to your city. You can get started on that early before the official announcement, so feel free to reach out to us in regards to that. It's really going to be an exciting time for us and for you guys, and we look forward to meeting everyone. On the personal level, I don't know how many ladies wear hair extensions out there, but, you know, our hair extensions line is launching at the end of the month. It's really exciting. We have an assortment of different products. But the line is called Luxury Locks. You can visit us at luxurylocks.com. That's Luxity Locks, LOCKS.com. So, yeah, we're launching, and then we're going to be expanding into clip-ins and styling tools over the next year. So, if you want it, we got it, and we have it at a very affordable rate. So that's the only thing that's going on with me personally.
Good stuff. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being on this podcast. We've learned a lot of information. A lot of people have retweeted a lot of your quotes tonight. So
fantastic quotes.
Fantastic stuff. And definitely, guys, go to blurtology.co. So that's blurtology.co to find out more about what they're doing, about Blurred's Night Out, if you want to submit your content to their site, and the different hackathons that they have throughout the region. Check them out. Next week, guys, our podcast is going to be 2 hours. We are going to be talking about True Blood, So if you're a Truby, this is the podcast for you. The premiere is next Sunday night at 9 o'clock. So our podcast will air Sunday night at 7. As soon as the podcast is over, you've got a new episode of True Blood waiting for you. So tune in to us 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday night. And we're going to have some fun on that one. So thank you, ladies. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.